Well, good morning, everybody. Today we find ourselves at the beginning of Lent, and if you weren't able to be at our Ash Wednesday service, Pastor Bud did an incredible job at laying out why Lent is so important. We're also at the beginning of our journey through Mark. The Gospel of Mark is the second book in the New Testament and is the shortest of the four Gospels. And each one of the Gospels were written with a specific purpose. You know, Matthew was written primarily to Jews, and the theme of Matthew is that Jesus is the King, the Messiah, the Messianic figure that is to come. Luke was primarily written for Gentiles or non-Jews, and the theme there is that Jesus is the Savior of all. John was written as the persuasive gospel, and it's a very different form than the other three, and the theme of John is that Jesus is God. Mark, the gospel that we're studying, is the short one, and it's the one that was meant to be easy to memorize. It's only 16 chapters, right? We all got this. Very different age, right? Back then, they would have memorized the book of Mark. A little bit difficult for us. But its length was chosen so that it could be easily shared, and it was meant to, in a sense, in the language of today, it was meant to go viral. And the theme of Mark is that Jesus is the suffering servant, and it shows Jesus' authority. And Mark is also what one of my professors called a primer. Right, it's the easy to learn, easy to digest gospel. And throughout these next weeks, we're going to be looking at the book of Mark and understanding who Jesus is, that Jesus is our blank. And each week, we're going to be filling in that blank as we learn something new about our Savior. And today's scripture, which we've already heard, how Jesus was baptized by John in the River Jordan. And Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee, and John baptized him in the Jordan River. Baptism in Jesus' day was a symbol of cleansing. John's baptism was symbolic of a more permanent, a more powerful reality that was to come. And John said, "I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." And the question always comes up when we talk about the baptism of Jesus. Why would Jesus, who was sinless and perfect, need to be baptized? And Jesus was baptized because Jesus is our example. Baptism wasn't just something that Jesus commanded his followers to do, but an experience that he as well underwent. And so in submitting to John's baptism of repentance for the remission of sin, Jesus identifies with sinners and becomes their substitute representative. He becomes their example, symbolically undergoing the washing of water on their behalf. Baptism continues in the church today. In fact, with his final words on earth before ascending into heaven, Jesus said, "Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." You know, in a very real way, baptism marks us like the ashes do on Ash Wednesday. It's an identifier for us. It's kind of like wearing a Steelers jersey or a Pirates cap, right? You are proclaiming to the world, "I belong to Team Jesus." And there's something really important for us to see in this text. You know, the next two verses say this: "As Jesus came up out of the water, he saw the heavens splitting apart and the Holy Spirit descending upon him like a dove. And a voice from heaven said, 'You are my dearly loved Son, and you bring me great joy.'" Question for you this morning. What had Jesus done to deserve the Father's love? How many miracles have happened up to this point, how many miracles have occurred? How many people have been healed? Zero. Nothing had happened yet. God the Father loves Jesus not for what he has done, but for who he is. This is also a part of the example of Jesus that we need to understand, right? And oftentimes in our world today, we will value people based upon what they can do for us, right? He or she is a good worker. They're a good provider. They have a talent that we can use or need. And oftentimes, I think we can transpose that upon God. But God isn't like that. God doesn't look at you and say, what's in it for me to love you? What is it that you can give to me? God looks at you and he sees something worth saving. He looks at you and he sees his creation. He sees the people he loves and wants to be in a relationship with. Now, God may not always be happy with our choices. You know, each and every one of us has sinned and we have fallen short of God. You know, sometimes we sin with great gusto. But God's word says to us that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever would believe in him should not perish, but would have everlasting life. Right? Jesus, our example, dedicates himself to God's will through an event that symbolizes the whole what his whole ministry was going to involve, making it possible for sinners to repent in order to find forgiveness and new life in God. In baptism, Jesus shares the circumstances with his people. And he shares the example in which they need to become aware of their needs, precisely in order to meet those needs. And the scripture continues in Mark 1, right after the baptism, the Spirit then compelled Jesus to go into the wilderness, where he was tempted by Satan for 40 days. He was out among the wild animals, and the angels took care of him. Now, in contrast to Matthew and Luke, Mark's account of the wilderness temptations is blunt in its brevity. The other two gospels share the temptations in great flourish, how the devil came and tempted Jesus, and how Jesus at every turn countered Satan by the word of God. Originally, when I was thinking about this sermon, I had just planned on focusing upon the baptism and expounding more upon that. But the more as I read the scripture, and this section continued to jump out at me, continued to enter into my thoughts. And what can we learn about Jesus' example here? What might we learn about Jesus' entering into the wilderness? So if Jesus was baptized for us to emulate, what might this passage about being in the desert, about being tempted, and about receiving care mean for us today? I think that this is an acknowledgement that as we as Christ followers are going to have to face when we in baptism put on our Team Jesus t-shirts. Now, if we're honest, there isn't a lot of persecution that we really face here in America as Christians. Here in America, we're largely safe. No one is going to be carted off to Acushnet Stadium to be fed to the lions. I'm not talking about the Detroit Lions. I'm talking about the King of the Jungle Lions. All of us are pretty safe. And that's where the danger lies. The danger is that This safety can lead to complacency. And I think the modern church's biggest enemy is inconvenience. Yeah, I'm a Christian, but I'm not a Christian. I don't want to be inconvenienced for my faith. I don't want to have to give up things. I don't want to have to change my life. I'm a Christian. I'm not a Christian. There's a post that's going around on Facebook by a guy by the name of Shane Bishop. He's a global Methodist pastor and author. And he wrote a post in January this year that has since racked up 3 million views. And he writes this: "We see it all over the country. People are not quitting church. They're attending less frequently. The problem does not have to do with a lack of time or a busy schedule. Time has been the same since creation, 24 hours a day. We all have the same exact amount of time, 24 hours. No one attends church because they don't have anything else to do. We all have other stuff we could do. What we do with our time is a matter of priorities, plain and simple. If we don't attend church, it's because other things have become more important to us. We just need to get honest. Faith is too important not to be honest." I'm not a Christian. Just a Christian. You and I need to remember to who it is we belong to. And then we need to decide to follow Jesus into the hard places in our world today. Places like our schools, our workplaces, our homes. The world needs us to follow the example of Jesus and be willing to be inconvenienced for him and for the kingdom of God. We need to build our lives upon the foundation of God's word. Just as Jesus fought off the temptations of the enemy by the word, we need to fight off the temptations of our world. We need to fight off the temptation of inconvenience by grounding ourselves in God's word, because Jesus is our example. Because when we do that, God happens. I mean, listen to how our text finishes today. Later on, after John was arrested, Jesus went into Galilee, and there he preached God's good news. "The time promised by God has come at last," he announced. "The kingdom of God is near. Repent of your sins and believe the good news." Church, did you catch it? The time has come. The kingdom of God is near. This is Jesus' example for us: obedience, sacrifice, the proclamation of the kingdom of God. It sounds an awful lot like something we will often say in church: deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow after him. Because when we follow Jesus as our example, things happen. Now, here's what's next. You know, this morning I talked a good bit about baptism. And if you've never been baptized, I want to give you an opportunity to do that. As Methodists, we baptize babies. We recognize them as much a part of the family of God as anyone else. And for us, baptism is a celebration that God loves them and wants to have a relationship with them. And if you'd like to discuss having your child baptized, please give me a call or shoot me an email. I would love to talk with you more about what this means. If you're an adult and you've never been baptized, I want to give you the same offer. Right? There is no time limit on when we can be baptized. Give me a call. Let's go have coffee. Can't do that with a baby. But adults, we can have coffee. We'll talk about baptism and talk about what that means. For the rest of us here today, I want to give you an opportunity to remember your baptism. Remembering your baptism means acknowledging and reaffirming the covenant that was made with God, including your promise of redemption, cleansing, and new life, and living out the commitment made in that sacred event. Especially if your parents made this commitment on your behalf, when we remember our baptism, we have the opportunity to say, yes, this is my commitment. This is my covenant with God. Today, after you receive communion, there are bowls on either side. And so after you receive the bread and the cup, I invite you to go and reach into the bowl and take the symbol with you. And remember your baptism and make it fully yours. And during the next 5 weeks, we're going to be celebrating communion every week. As Pastor Bud said, Lent is meant to be a time of repentance, and these 40 days are set aside to praise God and to worship the Lord, to read our Bible more, and to pray. And so this morning, church, hear the invitation to the table. Christ our Lord has invited to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sins and seek to live in love and peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sins before God and one another. Together, let us pray. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Church, hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were still sinners. That proves God's love towards us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image, created us in your image, and breathed new life in us. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through the prophets. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join in their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna is the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time has come when you would save your people. He healed the sick, he fed the hungry, he ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always by the power of his word and Holy Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which has been given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim this mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us gathered here and upon these gifts of bread and juice. Make them be for us the body and the blood of Christ, so that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, make us one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory, and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen.